Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
I had the opportunity to pray the pastoral prayer in church today. It was great. I really look forward to that opportunity to stand before a congregation and lead them in prayer. And it just reminded me of how important it is that we spend time in prayer. I think we've talked about that before, even in a little series we did on prayer, but I want to emphasize a couple things today in our podcast. By the way, I hope you're doing well today and that you're meeting the Lord in His presence. And if you're in a time of struggle, I pray that you're reaching out to Him and asking the Lord to be with you. I know what that's like. Anyhow, back to this issue of prayer. So here's the question. Are you shamelessly audacious? Wow, that's a big set of words there, isn't it? Shamelessly audacious. Well, you know, it says in Scripture, in Luke chapter 11 particularly, that the man who kept saying to his friends, "Get up, I need some bread," listen to what it says, was answered because of your shameless audacity. Shameless audacity. I like that concept. Am I willing to go before the Lord in prayer with shameless audacity? The idea of shameless means that I'm not embarrassed about it. I don't feel that the way I'm doing it in any way is compromising my identity or my security. I have no shame with the boldness I have to go before God and to spend some time with Him in prayer, to ask Him for the things that I want. Now, in that passage of Scripture, that's where Jesus says things like ask, seek, and knock. And then He does that little teaching about what father, if your son asked for a fish, would give him a snake, or if he asked for an egg, would give him a scorpion. And then it ends with that amazing sense that how much more your Father will give you the Holy Spirit if you ask for it. Asking. That'd be a good study for someone to do. Just spend some time going through the New Testament and highlighting every time it says, just ask. There's a lot of passages of Scripture like that. Well, there's a psalm I want to talk to you about today. It's Psalm 17. I was kind of ambushed by this psalm recently. Matter of fact, I think I've mentioned it before. One of the things I love to do is spend time reading God's Word and every year kind of go through the Scriptures. And I came upon Psalm 17, and as I looked at it, I thought, oh, gee, there's not much here because I've not underlined very much. And then all of a sudden, I come to these verses, three verses, and it undoes me because it has to do with, if you will, shameless audacity. A boldness to go before God in prayer and let Him know what you need. Now, let me read the Scripture to you. It's very short. And then I'm going to look at it with you because I think there's something here for us today. David says, "I call on you, my God, for you will answer me. Turn your ear to me and hear my prayer. Show me the wonder of your great love. You who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you from their foes, keep me as the apple of your eye, hide me in the shadow of your wings." I'll be honest, every one of those scriptures, those, if you will, six or seven different truths, is enough to dwell on for a whole podcast. There's a lot there. But what I'm going to do is just walk these through, and hopefully it can motivate you and it can motivate me to experience with God shameless audacity. Being willing to go and tell Him exactly what it is that's on your mind, what you need, what you want from Him, knowing like the friend at midnight that eventually he's gonna get up out of bed and He's going to meet your need. And then the confidence that He wants to do that because He's a better Father than any father on earth could ever be. So let's look at this. The first phrase is David saying, "I call on you." What David is saying, I pray. So I like that. I call on you. I'm going to pray. I'm not going to stop praying. I'm going to let you know what it is that's going on in me all day long, prayer without ceasing. You're going to be hearing from me. I think there's something there that we need to hold on to. There are times I think, oh, God's too busy and the Lord's got many, many other more important things. But that's not what David says here. He says, I call. I call. That's my part. I'm going to call. But now he gives a second half and he says, I call, you will answer. Wow. That's a lot of confidence. That's audacious to believe that you call and the God of the universe is going to answer you. What gave David this kind of boldness? Well, I think he knew the character of God. He knew that God loves his children. He knows that God's a better father than any father on earth could be. That he doesn't hand out scorpions and snakes. And that he even gives the Holy Spirit in abundance to those who ask. I call, he answers. I believe something happens every time you pray. That doesn't mean you know what happens. That doesn't mean that the exact thing you wanted to have happen will happen. But I believe that's part of the promise that is ours as God's children, that when we pray, something happens. And you just have to come to the place by faith to believe that something's going on in the universe as God's Holy Spirit is working on your behalf. Maybe sometimes it happens over time. Maybe sometimes it happens in a way different than you originally intended. But what would happen if you and I embraced the belief that when I call, something happens? I think that's huge. I really do. Now, I'm not a person that believes that everything you pray for should happen. And if it didn't, it's because you didn't know the right formula. But I do believe this. Every time you pray, something happens. Because God has promised to hear our prayer. It's right there in Scripture. Jesus himself said it. Albert Schweitzer once said of Jesus, he was too much of a gentleman not to keep his word. Well, Jesus' word is that if we ask and we seek and we knock, that he answers. And he's going to give us the answer that best fits us. I remember years ago when Garth Brooks had this song called Sometimes I Thank God for Unanswered Prayer. Kind of a humorous song about someone he prayed that, you know, would love him and that he would marry, and it didn't turn out that way, and now he's glad it didn't. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that when we pray, God does answer, but sometimes the answer he gives us is different than the one we're really after because he knows that the answer he gives to us is more important and more valuable for our lives, for our well-being. And so there's we go. So right now I'm going to ask of you, and you have a right to ask it of me, do you call? Do you ask? I call on you. Do you? Are there some needs right now that you could lift up before the Lord in a spirit of rejoicing, as it says in Philippians chapter 4, I believe? Okay. Now that you're committing to call, ask the Holy Spirit to give you faith to believe that when you call, he answers. Do you hear that? When he calls, he answers. Now, you want to talk about shameless audacity. David goes further, and he not only says to the Lord, when I call, you answer, he almost demands the Lord answer. Listen to what he says. Turn your ear to me. Can you imagine being in a crowd and you're trying to talk to somebody that you love and they're so preoccupied that finally you say, you name their name and say, hey, listen, I want to say something. That's the attitude that David's bringing in his relationship with God. He must be confident in God's love, confident that he is God's child, which I think he is that confident, that he says, turn your ear to me. Well, if Scripture is to be a guide for our lives, that must mean that as God's children, we can be that audacious. To not just pray, oh, Father, will you, but to say, Father, I need you to listen here. Turn your ear toward me. And then he says, hear my prayer. That's a very active sense of hearing. I want you to hear my prayer. I want you to listen to my words because they're so important. You see, this takes another spin on prayer. I mean, I get that we are humble and that we come before God recognizing that all that we have because of Jesus and none of it because we've earned it. But what confidence do we have in Jesus? Do we have confidence that we really are the children of God? And because we're the children of God, we can say, I call, you will answer. Listen to what I'm saying. Turn your ear to me, Father. Hear my request. I want to give you a challenge that you would go ahead and, well, try it out. Be like David here when it comes to prayer. Really go for it. Now listen to the next thing he says. Again, he is not doing this with a spirit of, if you would please, Father. He's just being direct. He says, show me the wonder of your love. I want to see it. It's as if he's saying, you say you love me? I want to see that you love me. Wow. Again, what word comes to mind? Well, for me, it's the word shameless, audacious, to say to God who has already done wonderful things for us, show me the wonder of your great love. I went on a walk today, and as I was walking early this morning, it was 23 degrees, and it was brisk, and so I was walking just as briskly. I spent some time in prayer, and then I decided, because some things were weighing heavy on me, that it might be very good for me to simply start thanking the Lord for all the good things he's done. Boy, I'll tell you, I walked 4.5 miles, and I didn't run out of opportunities to talk about very specific ways in which God has given me good things, done good things for me. But yet he wants his children to not only say thanks for that, but to be so courageous to then move forward and say, I need to see your love for me. I'll tell you what, that's bold. That really is. But I think as a father, he'd love it. You know, my kids, when they were growing up, and even now sometimes, and they're adults, there are times they'll come to me and they just hold out their open hand and smile, and I laugh because I know that what they're saying is, hey, Dad, how about a couple dollars? And it doesn't make me angry. It actually makes me feel close to them. I'm glad they feel that they can depend on me like that. If I, being a father, know how to give good gifts to my children, how much more your Father in heaven knows how to give good gifts. Now, the next part of verse 7 is very interesting because it says, you who save by your right hand. Now, why didn't it say just you who save by your hand? Because the sense in Scripture at this time was that the right hand was the place of strength. Where does Jesus sit? He sits at the right hand of the Father. When you're moving out into battle, who do you want beside you? Your right-hand guy. The right-hand person that's going to support you. When I think about my administrative assistant, actually the executive director of Healing Care Ministries, Lynn Lawson, she is my right hand, which means my strength. And what David is saying, use your right hand. Use your strong hand on my defense. I like that. We don't want the weak side. We don't want God to just, do something that is not impressive, but we want him to show us his love and use your right hand while you do it. How could someone be so directive to God? Seems almost off-putting, doesn't it? But in fact, it's the confidence that David had in his relationship with God. And that God, in fact, loved him. And that he could count on God to understand his heart and to hear his prayer. The scripture goes on and says he uses his right hand for those that take refuge in him when the enemies come. Refuge. Have you ever thought of yourself as a refugee? I mean, I've never actually been a political or geographic refugee. But when a person runs to a refuge, they are, in fact, a refugee. And what David is suggesting to us is that when our foes come, run to your refuge. He is your refuge. And you can become a spiritual refugee and you go into the heart of God where he cares for you, where he's willing to take care of you. I was reading a psalm early this morning, and it was one of the in the 40s, so let me look at it very quickly because it reminded me of this whole notion of I don't need to fear because I can run to God because he, in fact, is the place of refuge for me. Isn't that a good thought? He is the place of refuge. By the way, that comes out of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and our strength. In other words, when you run to God as a refuge, he'll use his strength, his right hand, to help you. An ever-present help in times of trouble, therefore don't fear. Boy, I need that. I wrestle with fear a lot. It's an old childhood issue that's still being healed. And yet what Scripture's saying is don't be afraid, Terry. Run to God. Be a spiritual refugee to the refuge that is yours, and that is God. Now, here's the other one that I think is absolutely amazing in this passage of Scripture. Again, talk about shameless audacity. The Scripture says, keep me as the apple of your eye. Now, I want you to think about that metaphor, the apple of your eye. So imagine you're going to an apple tree and you want to pick an apple. Well, I can guarantee you if you're wanting to eat that apple, you're not going to look around for the one that has the most marks on it, the most holes on it, the most worms in it. You're going to look for the best apple on that tree if you're hungry. And you see it and you like it and you reach out and you pick it. It's the number one, the one you put your eye on and say, of all the other apples, this is the one I want. This is the one I choose. And what David is saying, God, I want you to be like that with me. I want you to look, and in the whole crowd, I want you to look at me and I want you to say, you're the one I choose. Isn't that amazing? The willingness to say, you're the one I choose. Wow. David's saying, that's the way I want God to be with me. I want to know that I am that one. Now, of course, we all get to know that, but there's something personal about it in that the Lord wants us to understand that he chooses us. We are his beloved. We are, as it says in Isaiah 61, the one whose name is sought after. I wish you'd pray that prayer today. Oh, Lord, keep me as the apple of your eye, the one you choose, the one you say, that's the one I want. And then the final scripture in this says, hide me in the shadow of your wings. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. That's a beautiful image. It's kind of similar, isn't it, to Psalm 91. To dwell in the shelter of the Most High, to be hidden in the shadow of his wings. This little passage on prayer is filled with truths that can inspire us to go before God in new ways with an, well, let's say it, shameless audacity. Because you're his child, and he wants you to know that he can be counted on. So that's my challenge. Will you call? And as you do, will you be confident that he will answer? Cry out to God, who is your Father, and say, turn your ear to me. Hear my prayer. Show me the wonder of your great love. Save me by your strong right hand. I'm going to take refuge in you, God. Keep me as the one you choose, the apple of your eye, and let me hide there in the shadow of your wing. Folks, I hope you'll think about this text. Go to it, read it, meditate over it, pray over it. I think you'll find there's something very exciting there. God wants to touch your life. He wants you to know what's true of you and him. May you know that God's face is shining on you today. Let me remind you that you can go to the Healing Care website. It'll talk about events that are coming up. We have a big event next week called The Essentials on how to position people for transformation. That's taking place right here in Ashland. Then in April, I'll be doing a seminar in Canada for 4 days, then down in Nashville, May, back in Nashville again, then on to Colorado. There's some exciting things happening. There's also some free resources there. I hope you'll look. May God bless you. Have a great day.